you. Now, Adrian, I have for you a singer of quite a bit of note, fellow like myself that's entertained a lot with the singing, Paul Byron. Paul, nice to see you again.
Hello. Hello, Paul. How are you? Hold on a second now. This is not with Celtic Thunder anymore, and as such, when you leave Celtic Thunder, we don't have any roadies around here.
Yes, that's okay. It's more hands-on, isn't it?
Yeah, this is hands-on.
How have you been doing and keeping busy?
I'm doing great, thank God. Yeah, I'm actually next Wednesday filming my very first solo PBS TV special.
Nice.
Down in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And Phil Coulter is going to be the musical producer with the 25-piece orchestra.
Oh, nice.
And a couple of special guests. So that'll air, hopefully, then toward the end of the year. So, very exciting times.
Well, with good reason, and that exposure will be great. Now, tell me about the song. Is it My Land? Is that it?
Yeah, My Land. Well, it's funny. So I got asked to be an ambassador of culture and music for The Gathering for 2013 by Tourism Ireland. And basically, the song on the album was written by Brendan Graham, who many people will know, who wrote You Raise Me Up and Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears. Yeah. Beautiful songwriter from Ireland. And so he wrote this song called My Land. I put it on the album, my latest album, This Is the Moment. Yes. And then it was so appropriate, I think, really. The lyrics are so appropriate for what The Gathering is really all about. And so many people have left Ireland over the years, and very sadly in recent years, more than anything. And the song is basically just, you know, talking about getting to go home and return to my land. And
any chance we can listen to it?
Yeah, I think Anya's got it lined up to play. So.
And we're going to do it. But what we do need to do is just have you. I know you've been entertaining. You've been singing.
Yeah.
Your throat is raspy.
Well, I don't like to make excuses.
But I just want to say this. And we want to hear you at your absolute worst.
Right. I normally only ever sing in the mornings at funerals, so this is a first.
You know, Adrian is thinking this, and I want to say, Paul, one possibility to help you if you are a little raspy, if you want me to do a couple of numbers
and lay that foundation,
you're going to sound really good.
Well, what we'll do is if I go very red in the face, maybe you could just kick in. And
jump right in.
That would be great.
You're having trouble now. Have Deary just in for a split second there.
I think we'll give it a shot. This is a song, actually. I'm going to sing something I actually grew up listening to my grandmother singing. She's 94 years of age, from Kilkenny, a great woman. And so she used to always sing this when she was washing the dishes. And I know that sounds very twee, but that's the truth of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so you hear many different Irish songs over the course of this weekend across America. But this one you rarely hear, and it's one of my favorites, and it's a piece called Just a Song at Twilight. Let's hear it.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Once in the dear dead days beyond recall, when on the world the mist began to fall, out of the dreams that rose in a happy throng, lo, to our hearts love sang an old sweet song. And in the dusk where fell the twilight gleam, softly it wove itself into a dream. Just a song at twilight when the lights are low and the flickering shadows softly come and go. Though the heart be weary, sad the day and long, still to us at twilight comes love's old song, comes love's old sweet song. Even today we hear love's song of yore, Deep in the heart it dwells forevermore. Footsteps may falter, weary grow the way. Still you can hear it at the close of day. And in the heart, when life's dim shadows fall, love will be found the sweetest song of all. Just a song at twilight, when the lights are low, and the evening shadows softly come and go. Though the heart be weary, sad the day and long, still to us at twilight comes love's old song, comes love's old sweet song.
Just
thank
beautiful, Paul.
Yeah,
thank
you. John, for you even to list yourself as a singer, you should be ashamed of yourself after that now. But I'm only mentioning that in passing. By the way, Paul Byram, friends, was, and for how many years?
Well, I was with Celtic Thunder. I was with Celtic Thunder for 5 years. So I was with the original group as it started out. And so exciting times as it was. And myself and Phil were involved from the get-go. So it's nice to be working with them again on this new upcoming special.
Yeah. And also, we should say that we are going to go right now to a CD. A CD because it's very special.
Okay.
And the reason that we won't lean on Paul Byram to actually sing the official anthem for the gathering is that this is the first play in the United States, and today is the day that it's going to be launched.
Okay, great. So let's
and actually,
listen.
Considering that your microphone is going to be closed anyway, feel free to join in any place. You jump in there, John, any time you want to. As again, as we launch.
You're not looking for a
still on? Hello,
sales.
Hello. Let's hear Paul.
Well, Paul.
My land, is that it, Paul?
Yeah, that's my land, of course. And it's on the new album, This Is The Moment, which
this
is available
this is the
Barnes
moment.
And Noble and iTunes and wherever you can get
and
a CD.
And a website?
Website, paulbyram.ie. And you can follow me on Twitter as well or Facebook or whatever is out there. I'm on it, you know.
It may sound like Paul Byron when John Deere introduced you, but it's actually Byram.
Byram, yeah. And I believe, I'm told that I'm with the last family in Ireland with the surname, so there's a lot of pressure on me and my wife now, future wife, should I say, come August, basically, you know, to spread that name.
Fantastic.
That's well, maybe that's after.
Are you saying you're getting married? Is that?
I'm getting married
in
August.
That?
Yeah, I'm actually marrying Phil's daughter, Dominique.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
talk about keeping it.
That's
the family.
Kind of good.
Well, hey, listen, you know, if I'm going to sing Ireland's Call and the town I love so well, I may as well get the daughter.
He's
you know,
the best one you can get. Congratulations, that's wonderful.
Absolutely. All right,
so let's hear it. My land.
Okay,
how about it?
Okay.
Let's go.
How green are your valleys? How blue your great skies? Your mountains stand tall in the glory. Your rivers are free, the bright stars all arise. Your beauty is ages before me. Oh, you are so blessed.
from your shining waters. We carry your hopes, your spirit, your dreams in the heart of your sons and your daughters. Oh, you
That is very powerful, and I gather the first time that we've heard it in the country, Paul Byrum, with an M, and former member of Celtic Tiger. You're listening to WVNJ, Oakland, New Jersey, and very, very delighted to welcome a person. We were just chatting about the fact that Neil O'Dowd had been in this place where I'm sitting with Adrian on many St. Patrick's Days in the past. Adrian apparently was a little tight with the money, and Neil decided to give it up. But anyway, it's wonderful to see Neil O'Dowd.
Thank you. Adrian is actually from Cavan. He hasn't revealed that.
Well, Neil, as we all know, of course, is the editor of the Irish Voice and Irish American Magazine. And delighted to be joined also by Kieran McLaughlin, who is the director of the American Ireland Fund Worldwide. And delighted to see both of you.
Thank you, John.
Yes.
Good to be here.
Yes, well, it's a pleasure. And as a matter of fact, on that, it's irishcentral.com. Is that
that's my website?
You know, by the way, that website, which I would say 1 second after 9 o'clock every day.
That's right.
Bingo, it hits.
I'm amazed you get it, John, because we have an IQ test. But Kieran doesn't get it.
Let me
Anya gets it. I'm struggling by, mind you, you know.
But I'm interested in that because it's a very interesting. I was curious. Do you struggle to come up with your four or five headline items, or
really,
are they
John.
There?
No, it's an amazing community. There's always something. And, you know, today there's a wonderful front page story in the New York Times. I don't know if you read it, that snakes are back in Ireland.
Okay.
They have to, and I know you haven't been there in a while, so they haven't seen real snakes, but or Adrian. But, you know, the Internet's different. It's not like the newspaper and the magazine. You've got to have catchy stuff.
Yeah.
You've got to have stuff, because the attention deficit disorder this country and every other country experiences is unbelievable. So you got to grab people early. There's a very good story this morning from the Guardian newspaper about the British Prime Minister attacking the new Pope on the issue of the Falklands.
Yes, I saw
which is an amazing story.
Yeah, I saw that.
The new Pope has spoken out very strongly that the Falklands are Argentinian.
Okay.
And David Cameron has taken great exception to this. So it's that kind of story, yes. You know, that you won't see that easily, and that works very well.
Are you, because I'm very fascinated by all of the creativity that you've brought. For example, I appreciate very much the honor of being one of the 100 legal, but you've done that in so many different fields. You have a tremendous creativity of seeing the market and developing kind of outside the box, so to speak, things.
Well, the interesting thing, John, is that the print days are gone. The great days of print are long past. It's a bit like, you know, the record business. It's transformed so much that you simply have to spread out your risk factor. And what we do is we do an awful lot of events.
Mm-hmm.
We do a number of newspapers. We do the magazine. We do the website. And between them all, I know Adrian will agree with this, the old days are gone and they're not coming back. The days when you'd have 14 pages of our ads in the Irish Voice.
Yeah.
We'd be lucky to get one page now.
Yeah. But can I make a point on that,
John?
Yeah. You know, in many cases, there's a greater demand for connectivity and just interaction. Like, Neil, we run 100 events around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two events on average a week. And in a high-tech world, there's a real demand for high touch, that people want to get together in a real environment, not just a virtual environment. And the community has never been stronger between your events, our events, any number of events. You know, and it's not just the St. Patrick's Day weekend. You know,
in the events that you're talking about doing with the American Ireland Fund, is that are they primarily fundraising events? Or
absolutely.
What are you
unashamedly.
So you mean 100 of them? You're doing that many?
Right? Oh, yeah. Well, we do. Of course, we operate over 12 countries around the world. So
okay.
We
have except
events
mail. They don't come out
yeah,
mail.
No reason to.
Well, that's right. Maybe we don't spend there either, so there might be a function. But, you know, so we have events in Hong Kong, we have events in Sydney.
I'll have you know that my microphone is dead. Because
oh, that's
just
great.
In case
that's the best piece of news I've heard.
Just in case anybody
that's
thinks
great.
That I would let that go.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, that's, yes.
But John, you were talking about the wages of performing on this show.
Yes.
It was usually a cheap lunch in Tommy Makem's.
Yes.
Then Tommy Makem's closed, and it was a takeout from McDonald's.
Yes.
Excuse me.
And then I finally quit when it became a bottle of water.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this. You're
ahead of the game,
Neil. You're ahead of the game, frankly.
Yeah, can I tell you, first of all, it was a lunch, and it was a dinner in Tommy Makem's.
Yeah, because we never
went
home.
And when the band came in, we couldn't be rude and walk out at that stage of the game. So many the time we closed.
You know what they say in Ireland? You enter in daylight, you leave in daylight.
Yeah.
Yes. No self-respecting Irishman goes to bed the same day he got up. Isn't that right?
Let me ask you this, Kieran. Is fundraising, given the economy that we've been through over the last 4 or 5 years or so, more difficult today than it's been in the past?
Well, you know what, John? It should be. But the reality is that Irish America in particular is standing up like never before for Ireland. Adrian knows this, is on our New York Dinner Committee, as is Neil. We set out to launch a campaign to raise $100 million over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We crashed through the goal last year. We set ourselves a new goal of $140 million, requiring us to raise $1 million a month. We're ahead of target on that as well. So Irish America, against the trend, against the prevailing environment, is really stepping up. And the interesting thing, I believe, is people aren't giving out a pity for Ireland. They're actually giving out a pride in the extent of the Irish response.
Mm-hmm.
The Irish people have shown such resolve, such resilience. They've taken their medicine. And Irish America wants to be part of that.
I think a big part of that, John, is the fact that Irish America, and you were instrumental, and Adrian as well, in helping end the troubles in the north of Ireland. This was a huge success story that our community played a huge role in.
Yeah.
And it's given people permission, because in the old days, there was a certain fear of getting involved because of the issue of why are Catholics killing Protestants and IRA and all this stuff. Now, Irish America, having played this amazing role, and you know, proven that they can be successful, it gives a whole new generation permission to get engaged and involved in Irish America. And Kieran was talking about the Ireland Fund. They have a fantastic young leaders group, 800 of whom showed up on Friday night at an event. And they have, you know, across the country, just a whole new group. I was at the Ireland Fund dinner in San Francisco last week. just a young crowd. That's I mean, the younger generation.
Really, yeah, yeah.
I mean, we see people of our generation and that very involved, and we were always like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something, and I think it's got a lot to do with, even though everything is more global, everything's actually more local.
Yeah.
People pine for and hope for connecting and you know, carrying on a tradition, mm-hmm. and that's what the Irish-American thing, it's a very authentic, real tradition.
Yeah. Talk about keeping us cohesive and up to date. As I just mentioned before, the remarkable, as with your
Irish Central,
you reach out, and it's amazing how you can put it together. I don't know if you are
the headline reader, but you push the button,
yeah, and
you, now you're starting to suck up, and that is not
that's
something
not right.
you want.
No. Adrian would never do that.
Adrian would never ever do that.
If the T-shirt was here, the questions would be so tough.
Yeah.
If anyone taught me how to do it,
poor Bill Thompson, I feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you.
The poor man who was almost mayor the last time he's here, he's going to finish his political career right here.
With all his diploma.
Adrian's going to kill him.
With all his diploma. And the backslapping, and I'm okay, you're okay, and all that stuff. Tisha walks through that door, you're gone.
I'm gone. But Adrian, I want to say one thing, and this is Plymouth. I came to this town in 1985. There was nobody better to me than Adrian Flanley. And
yes,
I want to say that now.
Yes.
I've always said that.
Yeah.
Well, he put me on his show. I was starting a new magazine that nobody'd ever heard of. And every week, this man had me on.
So what's changed?
He's regretted
what
ever since.
I'll tell you what has changed, and there was no way of knowing, but you changed. And for those who think that Irish Central was a rollout for Neil O'Dowd, actually, this is your fourth startup.
Four out of four.
And it is, again, I don't think there are going to be too many, and I've said this story, you know, many times before, now in our 43rd year of broadcast.
Oh my God.
For the first 20 years, I was looking over my shoulder, wondering who, you know, the mobs that were going to come in and really put me out of business. And then when 20 years went by, I had a talk with myself, and the reality of the matter was, I said, maybe nobody wants to do this crap, you know,
in what you have
accomplished.
It was a different time.
But I have to ask you, though, quite seriously, did you realize that this was going to be 24/7, and not only 24/7, but that this was the monster that it must be?
Well, you know, our business has changed so dramatically, and we had a guy this morning with us, Liam Casey, who's one of the great internet entrepreneurs, not just in Ireland, but in the world. And he was talking about the power of social media. The reality is that the New York Times and everyone else is secondary in most people's lives now to that Twitter, to somebody, you know, news like the Pope's election flashing around the world in a millisecond. Everything has changed dramatically, and in many ways for the better. But, I mean, in our business, Adrian, in your business, the one thing that's constant is good information, good news, good guests. I mean, people forget what all this is about is basically good journalism.
Right.
That you have potentially the next mayor of New York here, you're going to talk to him. That's news and information that people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That you have Kieran, who's running this tremendous organization.
Yeah.
And I think from our point of view, the fundamentals don't change that much.
It
might look a bit different than everybody's saying, but you can't drive the engine if the car
is... Yeah, and there are people, and obviously we're looking at, and I'm delighted to have them, but none of this becomes easy. The person who says, you know, the first year you work hard, and the second year you work hard and smart, and then the third year you only have to work smart.
Unless you're an asbestos lawyer.
But
then you work for nothing for Adrian, isn't that right? But you know, it's an interesting point, though. I mean, it's a very, very clamorous world. We were talking about our young leaders. We mentioned them when they gathered. You're reading about this as it's happening. It's live feeds through Twitter. I mean, I think there was something like several hundred tweets from this thing.
Right.
To our event.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very clamorous world, and that actually means there is a need for a greater...
Ask Congressman Weiner about that.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
Bill,
did you
want to come in there?
if you had a slow day and you haven't had one, you might have to generate something like that, and you'd be set for life.
I would probably do something like... the Virgin Mary appeared in Mayo or something like that.
Again. Yeah. Again. She's back for return.
Oh, geez, now
she
you're
said
treading,
this is my first time.
You're treading on very thin ice there, fella. I want to tell you. What I did want to say, though, is that Neil O'Dowd and definitely Debbie and your staff, and of course Trish Hardy with the success of Irish American Magazine, right. You have, as happens, particularly in our business, you become the target of just about those who choose not to agree with your coverage, those
sure.
who have no idea what that
right.
What that entails. But it's also the sense of begrudgery is fairly is very very high, and
I think it is. But I think, look, John Deary can put his record against anyone on helping bring peace to Northern Ireland. John set up the presidential forums,
yeah.
which created the opening for Bill Clinton. You and I personally drove trucks down to Washington for the Morrison visas. Hugely successful.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll put my record up, and I'm sure Kieran will too with the Ireland Fund. There are lots of hurlers on the ditch, as we call them in Ireland.
Yeah.
But this community continues to progress, get more expansive. I would agree. I can tell you this for a fact. When I started the Irish Voice, you would maybe end up with one or two Irish events a week.
Right
now, take away the St. Patrick's season, but even on an average week, there's 6, 7, 8 Irish organizations meeting somewhere.
Incredible.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And if we ever get another immigration bill, which I think we will, we're going to double that number because.
Yeah, well, I want to tell you something. Your brother-in-law better get his running shoes on there because some of us are getting a bit long on the tooth now for that kind
that's
of.
That's true. I don't be driving the Morrison
Beach. We are. We're talking about Kieran Staunton, who is
the head of the Irish lobby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you saw the community at its finest in its response to Sandy.
Yeah.
At all
yeah.
levels, financially and in terms of manpower. It was a huge mobilization of the community in the city and across the country. And interestingly, we had a fundraiser in Dublin for Sandy victims, which was designed by our young leaders over there. But here's another interesting thing. I think Irish America now is feeding back to the homeland in a way it never did before. Look at Once. Took the Grammy Awards, is now back at home. Colin McCann, fascinating, Irish-born writer, who's found his voice here in America and is writing about, the great world, about the life in the city, and is one of the most celebrated Irish artists now. But he's American-made.
Okay.
So it's a very interesting relationship,
What I do want to say is, because it's not really a good segue into this, the Mayo County Council, the Mayo delegation, will be marching in less than an hour now. So
avoid them.
This may come
Please
as a
no.
big this may come
Mayo
as a
boo.
Big surprise to both of you, but you're out of here.
Can we have our free lunch now?
Worse.
Worse. Can we make them still open?
You know that worse than that. One of the most patient gentlemen that we've ever experienced, and indeed the fellow who, if he were as he almost was, who almost became mayor the last time around, he wouldn't be sitting around this place for 20 minutes, although you did manage to do quite a bit of campaigning there. I'm not sure that that's Bill Thompson.
Anyway, Bill, so nice to see you, Bill Thompson. What a pleasure.
Gentlemen,
candidate for mayor.
It is good to see you both again.
Yeah. Okay.
It's always a pleasure. Now,
and to be able to listen and to be honest about it is was informative and entertaining. So, the banter back and forth between the two of you and others is always great.
You will understand that all politics is local. I mean, I wouldn't have to tell either one of you that, okay? The Mayo delegation are here from Ireland. They are going to go to Fifth Avenue.
Absolutely.
And whatever happened in the last 43 years could go down the toilet if I don't put them on now. But you can welcome them.
Yeah, I think we need to talk to Bill. Can we talk to the Mayo crowd?
And I know the Mayo crowd's got to go quickly.
And you have your schedule, Bill.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Bill is here. He's part of the furniture, you know?
Well, he's a great guy.
And he's a great guy.
He really
but
is.
I know that you will. You will very much understand.
Absolutely.
That I need to welcome the Mayo County manager. And indeed, he is no stranger whatsoever to our program. Mayo County Manager Peter Hines, you're very welcome.
It is a glorious day to be from Ireland, a glorious day to be from Mayo, a glorious day to be here in New York. Thank you for your welcome.
Absolutely, and thank you. And indeed, the mayor of Mayo, Cyril Burke, it's a great day now, and great with all of what has been going on over the last years, it's very difficult to find you, to find the delegation in New York City. And I'm just wondering, kind of a bit of a coincidence that the Taoiseach, Prime Minister of Ireland, he's actually on the parade and on his way in here. But it's something else.
Yes, Adrian, it's an absolute pleasure to be back here in your studio again so soon. Of course, we were here in October at the launch of the Grand Marshal.
Right.
And as I said, it's great to be back here, an absolutely wonderful occasion, and great to meet all the people, great to meet all the Irish people, and particularly the Mayo people networking here in New York.
Speaking of networking, you've been to Philadelphia?
We're just coming to the end of a very long week's work here. We had five people in the delegation, including the Cahir Look myself, Councillor O'Malley, Councillor Ryan, and Joanne Graham, who's CEO of our County Enterprise Board. We spent 2 days in Philadelphia, 2 days in D.C., and we had 2 days here on the way through last weekend. So we've connected with a lot of people and done a lot of work over the last week.
Right, and a lot of business.
Yeah. There are a couple of key projects that have come directly from the diaspora link. Jerry Crotty, who was around earlier, is pushing ahead with his Mayo Power plant in Killala.
It is. And not only is this going to be a great boon to Mayo, but it is the first rollout in Ireland. And in fact, when this opens, it will be, and don't throw this out lightly, this will be the most significant and efficient power energy rollout in the world, bar none.
Absolutely, and it opens up a huge opportunity for farmers in the area across the whole of the Northwest, in fact, to grow crops that are suitable for the biomass plant. And in the years ahead, that will be a huge boon.
I know you've had a tremendous number of meetings, and I was just kind of wondering what that might be like for those who you have been meeting to see, not only just four Mayo people coming through the door, five, but actually also to have, and I would like to welcome again Councillor John O'Malley and Councillor Damien Ryan. You're very, very welcome. And also somebody who has gotten a new hat, has been very much a part of the council before. It would be very handy if she had a microphone, you know, but you have a microphone. Ah, for God's sake. What were you hiding it for? Joanne Green, CEO of Mayo County Enterprise. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Well, essentially, Adrian, it's all about creating jobs in County Mayo. And we do that by supporting small business, micro business, small business, medium size, and then also looking to attract new investment into the county. And clearly, Jerry Crotty's project is a significant boost for the local economy.
Will that that can't hurt? And I come back to Peter on this one. That can't hurt to have what is going to be the major inward investment for Ireland, never mind Mayo. To have that, it will it sets the platform. It sets the platform very much for...
It does. It establishes a number of things. It establishes that business can be transacted on the diaspora link. It was a big part of why that business came to Mayo. It establishes that the site at Killala can be redeveloped with its own very efficient power plant right there. And it proves that the whole reach out to the diaspora, when you have the support of the agencies and particularly the support of the local authority, you know, things can be made happen and made happen very quickly.
Right. For those who have not seen it, and you will on Sunday, to have the New York Times do a huge article and coverage of not only Mayo, but of the Jackie Clark collection, the Jackie Clark Museum in Ballina, County Mayo, absolutely takes one more aspect of the you know, of the progress that is in Mayo. And I know, Carla, you chairman, that it's incredible. Of all the, you know, and the New York Times,
Very much so. What amazed me altogether is, you know, the strength of the link. You know, people would say that because maybe some of the Irish Americans are four or five generations down the road,
right?
The link is just as strong, and we've found that in all our meetings that the door is very much open, and the same back into Mayo. And I think there will be more business done in the next 10 years than between Ireland and Mayo and Ireland and US than there has been over the last 20 or 30 years.
You know, I would like to get an opinion from Councillor Damien Ryan about the gathering and the significance of the gathering and what's that actually going to do for the west of Ireland.
Thanks very much, and I'm delighted to be given the opportunity to participate here in your show today, and to acknowledge that our delegation is led by our mayor, who has done tremendous work in the last few days all over the US on behalf of Mayo. In relation to the gathering, and I suppose I would be somebody, and I wear two hats. I'm a member of Mayo County Council, but I'm also a member of the hospitality industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I represent the world-renowned Ashford Castle in Cong, County Mayo.
Right.
And I can appreciate all the more what the gathering is all about. And as you know, Cong is the home of the quiet man.
Yes.
I think the gathering is an opportunity, and I believe in relation to Fáilte, Ireland, it was a massive initiative undertaken some time ago. It was a massive initiative to reverse decline and to put Ireland and Mayo on the map, and to make sure that 2013 Ireland became the focal point for travel and for a favoured destination.
John O'Malley, Councillor John O'Malley, there is a sense, and there had been for decades, that that Tourism Ireland, that the hospitality sector and those who were in charge didn't know there was much sense in plugging anything north of Galway. We'd have to say that that has absolutely changed tremendously. But there was a period there. Some of these fellows here, and particularly, you know, your colleague in green, Joanne there, would not remember a time when you know, that there was a huge lack of promotion for places like Bay, even in tourism, and it has to be one of the finest tourist destinations in Ireland.
Yes, well, Irene, you're right there. Again, I'm delighted to be here. I was here in 2005, and I haven't been here since I was on your programme then. And I suppose a lot has changed in both in New York and in Ireland, and some of it good and some of it bad. But nevertheless, we have to persevere and keep going. And insofar as the advertisement of in the tourist industry, yes, the west of Ireland now is really coming into play big time. Like, you will remember when people from this country came to Ireland, they landed in Shannon and they went to Kerry.
That's
and they did the Ring of Kerry and they got back on the plane and they went and they said they saw Ireland.
Yeah.
But I just want to say to them that the west of Ireland, and especially Mayo, and all the western counties have an awful lot to offer. And we have an airport in at Knock now in Mayo, and that is a great help in bringing in people. But I'm from Westport, and just to say this, I'm proud of the fact that Westport recently won the award of being the best place to live in Ireland. So we'd like to bring people over to
see. I know you'd like to say that three times in a row, but we got it.
Okay. Yes, I would, surely. But Westport has always been a good attraction to tourists, but especially this year we are calling out them to come and see the different things that we have done and the improvements that have been made in the West over the last number of years and the projects that we have in line to continue with. And so to that end, we are saying that we are on the map now, and we hope that people will come to Mayo and that they will come back and come back and come back.
And let me tell you, whereas Tourism Ireland may own a very worldwide, easy-to-remember website, finally, ireland.ie. But let me tell you, they had to go online because mayo.ie, is it? Is it .com?
No.
Ireland.com? Okay, but excuse me, stay up in Longford, you, because we're talking about Mayo. This is a Mayo click here. It's mayo.ie,
right? It's mayo.ie, Adrian, and it's a really good website. It's one that was piloted by the County Council with the Western Development Commission, launched almost 2 years ago now. It's free. It takes about 30 seconds to line up. We have a page for all of the communities, Mayo communities worldwide, and we'd really love anyone who isn't a member to just take 30 seconds, sign up, and it'll keep you in touch with what's happening, and particularly it will keep you in touch with what's happening for the gathering, because we have 220 events lined up for the gathering and more being added as we speak, and it's going to be a fantastic year, and it will keep you in touch with what's happening in your home place and in the communities abroad, and the gathering events will be refreshed every day.
Okay. Now, why does it take five Mayo people to bring the teacher, the Prime Minister of Ireland, to these microphones? That's because if these fellows don't leave, and you too, if you don't, Joanne, if you don't leave and go over to march with the home county of Mayo, the Taoiseach will not come here. So much as I hate to see you leaving, and this is heartbreaking, but it's for a good reason, and we're thrilled and delighted, obviously, that not only are you and the Mayo delegation here doing yeoman work, but that for the first time on St. Patrick's Day, we have the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of Ireland, who happens by chance to be from, what was that county again? Mayo, God help us. It's terrific, and we're delighted.
Yeah, thanks very much, Adrian. And, of course, before we go, we'd like to put our hand out to all the Irish and Mayo diaspora living here. We'd like to invite them home. We'd love to see them all during 2013.
Yeah.
We have 220 events taking place in Mayo during the year, and there's surely one there for everybody.
Again, to all of you, good luck, and get over there to the parade.
Thank you very much for having us. It's always a pleasure to come visit. We'll keep you in touch with what's happening back at base.
And you will remember that those of us who used to go to Mayo because it was the greatest place in the world, you know, and when not everybody was tattering up the country to go to Mayo, now that Mayo, and we can say this, maybe half tongue-in-cheek, but by this time next year, I think we're going to have, one of the most high-profile investments in Mayo, which can only spread.
Without a doubt.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, Adrian.
Mayo County Manager Peter Hines, and, of course, the Cathaoirle, the Chairman, Mayor of County Mayo, Cyril Burke, Joanne Grehan, who is the CEO of Mayo County Enterprise Board, and that is, you have your own website, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And, of course, the Councillor John O'Malley again. Great to have you, and Councillor Damien Ryan.
And just to take the opportunity, because I know my children are listening to this back home, to wish them all the best. I'll be with them tomorrow, my wife Maria, and my children Aoife, Rachel and Mark. And thanks very much for having us here this morning.
Aoife
is 7. Rachel will be 4 in April, and Mark is just a year.
Fantastic.
And to say we're open for business, delighted to welcome New York to Mayo whenever they take the initiative.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
And again, good luck, guys. Send your man over, will you? Okay, good. Billy Thompson, I know that you understand the...
Absolutely. Adrian, no apology necessary at all.
Well, what a delight to see you, Bill, as always. And I know these are busy days for you. And how are things going? Of course, as Adrian said before, you came within literally a whisker of being mayor of the city 4 years ago. And you're involved, obviously, in the Democratic primary now.
Correct.
This is not the political show, but it's a good time just to get a quick thumbnail sketch as to how you're doing.
I think things are moving along well. I mean, we continue to build each and every day. Fundraising is going strong. I think the reception around the city of New York and each and every borough has been great. So it's good to be, I'm very optimistic, moving forward aggressively and feeling very good about things right now.
What does it do, and as you are aware, we had Speaker Christine Quinn here earlier, touted as the front runner. We also knew, of course, that during that whole period of time that you were the controller of the city of New York, that also led to great name recognition, great track record when you did run for mayor. Does it kind of have the hair standing a little bit back of your neck at this early stage? It, you know, to say, well, here we had the speaker front runner. You have the name recognition. The title, it's not like you went away. I mean,
no, but at the same point, when you're not on the public stage, when you're not in elective office, things fade a little bit. I think right now it's great, you know, campaigning and being out there on each and every day. You remind people, the reception has been fabulous. So, no, it doesn't make the hair stand up on the back of my head. And the truth is, you know, polls in February and March, I think if I go back to 2001.
Let's go.
The front runners back then, for mayor were Alan Hevesy and Peter Vallone. And the people who wound up in the primary was Freddie Ferrer, the two front runners then, Freddie Ferrer and Mark Green. So the polls in March, I'm not worried about. I am concerned about the votes, the vote on September 10th.
Right.
Not the polls right now.
Does it, is it a huge negative again, to have candidates kind of coming out of the woodwork, though indeed some of them make the announcement, we don't hear from them again. But is that to you? Is that kind of a plus or a minus? Or are you seasoned to where it wouldn't matter one way or the other?
I'm comfortable with that. I think that the one thing, look, elections are a discussion about the future of New York City. That's what elections are about. It's about discussion of ideas. The more people that are out there that have good ideas, it adds to the public debate and discussion. That's fine. I'm confident, that the ideas that I bring forward, that coupled with, kind of a reinvigorated name recognition as you go through a campaign, I'll be fine. And others who are there, I think they add to that discussion.
Yeah. John, let you jump in here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
No, no, not yet.
He's letting you speak.
No,
oh, that's something.
No, not yet. I said, I just want to remind you.
Recognition.
I just wanted to remind you that you were in line,
In what?
Yet you were in line to speak next. Because
and then we're going to introduce a major union leader, Jack Ahern, here in the city of New York.
Jack. He's a great guy.
Yeah, sure excuse is. Me, I was going to do that too, but okay, I'll give you Jack.
Thank you.
I want to ask you, Bill Thompson, about the intervening years. Like, for instance, you made so many trips and played such a significant role in Northern Ireland. There are a lot of new players. There's a whole new a scene that is obviously all the better for the passage of time. What about when you are in the city and when you go around to many of the of those who made you almost mayor the last time? There are, again, there are new faces, new...
There are, but at the same point, you know, while there are new faces, there's still so many of the same people who have been here, who have been involved, who have helped, who are involved in moving Northern Ireland forward, who are involved in Ireland or involved in the city of New York. So while there are new faces, there's still so many people that you've had the chance to work with over the years. So yeah. there are a few new people and some new people at the same point. It's not as if I disappeared for a decade. I haven't been in elected office for 3 years or 3.5 years. So it hasn't been that long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at the same point, I've stayed involved in other things and being involved, you know, in Battery Park City, being involved in the governor's campaign, being involved in different commissions. So I'm still involved. You still meet people on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
As well as you have the opportunity to talk to them.
What about those who say, why would you not have come out earlier? Why would you allow a pathway for the speaker to be front? I'm sure there are a lot of critics who would say, including some of us, would say, mm-hmm. What the hell is Billy now? Is he going to come slithering in at the last minute
again, if you go back and look, I was probably the first person to say that I was running, that they were running in this election. Not having the elective office is the thing that perhaps doesn't give you the visibility. But over the years, I've still been active in New York City. I've still been involved.
Absolutely.
And while I might not have the elective office, I don't think the people of the city of New York necessarily say that that's a prerequisite, that you have to be a politician to be elected to office. If anything, I think not being a politician, being out there, working for a living each and every day, talking to average citizens about the future of New York City and about solutions, I think it gives me a little bit of a leg up. So I'm not concerned about that at all. And, you know, in the end, I think I have a pretty, I've shown over the years, I have a definable vote base. I know how to get votes. And I don't think people forget that soon all the work that's been done through a lifetime. So whether it's in Northern Ireland or Ireland, whether it's in the city of New York and other places, people aren't going to forget.
John, you got 45 seconds.
Well, I was just going to...
You all that time, too, John.
No, I was just going to say we got a delightful email from Marietta, Georgia, from Keith Dunn, who said that he's enjoying the show. I don't know if he can vote for you, Bill, but
he's
from Marietta. Let's get up here.
He's going to have to move.
Let's get up here, Keith. Could we take just a very brief break before we then talk to Jack Ahern? And welcome, Greg Harrington, is it? Greg, nice to see you. It looks like you've got a violin. I'm quite musical myself.
Yeah.
That's a violin, and you're a classical violinist and a crossover violinist. But more importantly, I understand you're going to do Danny Boy on that.
That's right, yeah. John McCormack and the great Fritz Kreisler used to do this a long time ago. So just in honor of both of them on St. Patrick's Day.
I'm not going to sing along totally with you, but if there may be certain bars, can I come in?
No.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
No.
Let's hear from...
Which part of
Go
friggin'
ahead.
No don't you know?
Okay. Greg Harrington, Danny Boy, classical violinist. Go right ahead.
Oh boy.
Well, that's beautiful.
That is fantastic.
Greg Harrington. And just Greg, that was beautiful. Yeah. That was
okay,
beautiful.
Before you skip over like classical vinylists, I do want to say, not because I say so, but Greg Harrington, by much more credible critics other than either of us, have said that Greg Harrington is to the violin what James Galway is to the flute. And that's not a bad... it's not bad. And you have traveled
Adrian, extensively. So everywhere from, you know, performed in Carnegie Hall to the Royal Festival Hall in London, down to New Zealand and then in China, and even as of last week, Staples Center, national anthem for the Lakers. So quite eclectic.
But there is a distinct possibility that we might get, you might be more accessible because you took a fondness for the great city of New York.
That's right, yes, I live here at the moment, so doing a lot more here. I'm playing the anthem for the Nets tomorrow night, and I'm playing a function for the vice president on Thursday. So, busy little week.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah.
Is there a chance that we could get, I don't know what the pay scale is, could we get another song? But if we do, could we just have a chat with Jack Ahern, please?
No problem.
Very significant union leader, former president of the New York City Building Trades Council. President of and business agent of Operating Engineers Local 30, and Jack, happy St. Patrick's Day, and welcome to you.
And Jack, Billy Thompson and myself invite you, and I'm very happy to see you, but I have a feeling that we're not going to get much.
Jack's an old friend, so we see each other all the time.
Yeah, but Jerry he's hanging up posters, they say now. He's getting a little bit edgy now that he's been, you know, and he wants to handle Jack, so...
You read me very well. How are you, Jack?
Very good, very good. It's good to be handled by whoever is here.
Yeah.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
As a matter of fact, Jack is a very good friend of, also a mutual friend of ours, Chick Donahue. Jack and Chick are a couple of very close running mates, and a very dear friend as he is.
I spoke to Chick this morning. He sends his regards. He's out in San Francisco. He's getting ready to march his way back.
Wow.
He should be arriving tomorrow morning. I said he's a little bit late, but he'll be here for St. Patrick's Day.
That's amazing. Did you know that Jack was the Grand Marshal for the Rockaway St. Patrick's Day Parade?
Oh, I'm aware of that.
What's considered to be, by the way, the longest, definitely around the city, that parade, you have to be in the whole of your health.
It's the second largest parade in New York City, and we like to think it's at least in the top five across the country. We had an unbelievable turnout this year in Rockaway. It's the Queens County St. Patrick's Day Parade. It was earlier in March, and just on my way over here, I had to see another 100 people from Rockaway who were down here celebrating in this parade. The month of March is really St. Patrick's month in New York City.
Jack, let me ask you, because while I grew up in the Bronx in Parkchester, our summers were
spent... I knew you were going to get that in.
Thank you very much, Adrian. Did I mention I'm from Parkchester? Did I mention it before? Let me say, I'm very familiar with Rockaways. We spent many summers there, and so I'm kind of interested. Where does the parade go, if you... got those details.
It's right off of the ocean. It's one block off of the ocean. It works right down the commercial strip, right through Rockaway.
Well, on Rockaway Boulevard there.
From St. Francis Church.
Oh, sure.
Straight across to St. Camillus.
Oh, that's wow.
It's a long
parade. You're about 135th Street, and you're coming down to essentially 100th Street. So you've got,
What are you doing, a new map? I mean, the guy, you weren't there.
But I know the map. I know the geography of Rockaway.
Not only did he walk as Grand Marshal, but he walked back to get his car.
Yes, actually, you hit the nail right
did
on the head.
Did you really? That's a hike.
We had a terrific group there. We had a number of deputy grand marshals, and right here is one of my deputy grand marshals, Adrian, so I'm going to leave it to you to introduce her. But
before you do that, though, I just want, on a very serious note, to bring you in, Billy, on this one here. Whoever becomes the next mayor of the city of New York has an enormous task ahead because of Hurricane Sandy.
Absolutely.
And it's got to be one of the worst nightmares, and this is not something that's going to, you know, we hear so much about the feds and the monies that had been assigned as committed from the White House and by the president, and still when you go look for the money or see, you know, well, where is it and why isn't it available, even if we got the whole job lot, that's not.
Look, we're going to have to, you know, in the neighborhoods across the city of New York that were devastated and impacted heavily, we're going to have to make sure that we rebuild smarter and stronger. We're going to have to do it in coordinated fashion. It's going to be the city, the private sector, the utilities, you name it. The citizens of those neighborhoods all going to have to come together. We're going to have to do it smartly, intelligently, in staged fashion so that, you know, extreme weather hits us again, we're ready.
Right.
And we don't wind up having the devastation that we had this time around. So we're going to have to do this smarter. It is going to require real coordination and collaboration. And you're right, whoever the next mayor of the city of New York is going to have to work hard to make sure that we move forward and we're stronger and better in the future.
Good. Sounds good. And, all good wishes. Okay, and Bill, the very, very best to you. It's John, a pleasure to know you, and you're a great person.
It's great to have that guy next to you again.
My entire family is here. They're all out there. Poor as church mice, but there are a couple of dairies there, and if I were you, I would be nice to them because they're loaded. You know.
Well, the dairies always have been. Okay.
Now, I'm saying that off the record here now because that's not the kind of thing. We're non-political here.
You know, it's just you and I speaking right now.
Yeah, that's it.
Good seeing you both.
Thank you very much, Bill. All the best. Have a great day. And Jack, congratulations. I wasn't aware of your Grand Marshal status, and
yeah?
I'm a little behind the time in the news, but great choice
one,
to have a Grand Marshal. All the best to the Ahearns.
One more award, but one that is very, very significant.
Well, thank you so much, Adrian. And I have to tell you, just as a comment, you know, it's 6 months since the storm. And when you go down to Rockaway and you see what the people have done, and in fact, the GAA sent out a group of people to work out there, tradesmen to work.
That's right. You're talking about from Ireland.
Yeah, from Ireland.
In addition to what the Irish government did through the consulate here in...
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to ask yourself exactly where is the city standing as far as rebuilding Rockaway right now? And that's a question. Rockaway, Breezy Point. I know the Taoiseach is going down to Breezy
tomorrow morning.
Yeah. But it's really a time to step up and have somebody make sure that the insurance companies do their part also. So on a lighter note, happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone.
So good to see you, Jack.
And
it's a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Good luck. No, I'm very happy St. Patrick's Day to you. And you're always indeed to the forefront for not only the Irish community, but for a great... segment of this community here that appreciates your leadership, and that's very true.
Okay.
By the way, I knew this was going to happen the minute I mentioned that there were well-heeled dairies out in our reception area here. There's a call from, we just got a message from my brother Fintan Flannelly in Kildare.
Looking for
a loan? Equestrian said no.
Oh.
No. Yeah.
No.
Hey, look, that's
all. All the money I've allocated to the Flannelly has gone to you, Adrian.
Yeah,
you
I know. Yeah,
brother,
that's yeah. And Bloomberg didn't even pay the $12 for the 12 years. So you know, you're on par there. And also to Alva Flannelly and to Mum Gunn, and they're all listening in Kildare in Ireland, and none of them have asked you, John, to sing. They were delighted that you did the little bit that you did.
Early on.
And all good things come in small packages. Thank you. So,
I think
Sheila,
we have a very, very wonderful guest here, Adrian. I wish you'd
sure
introduce him.
Yeah. Sheila, Linus, Hurricane.
Hurricane.
Okay.
Or a hurricane.
Hurricane.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Or a hooligan.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm sure that must get...
All of which seem to fit from what I think. Hooligan, hurricane, and hannigan.
Listen, do you know, there's something missing in some Mayo people, and I don't know what it is, but we have something in common here, John, in that... you know, when we were looking for life partners, somehow somehow we wound up in Longford.
I know.
I know. And you know, but of course, we always had a great soft spot for Longford because in Mayo, when we were going to Dublin.
What did you used to call Longford growing up, Adrian? Remember, we used to take the bus from Ballinasloe up to Dublin. And Longford was the...
Yeah. No, go ahead.
P-stop. Right?
Oh.
That was the break. It was a halfway up to
I
Dublin.
Wanted you to handle that because... the word that comes to mind with Longford is lavatory. not lavatory. Yeah. But it was, as we were young kids and we were leaving Mayo to head for Dublin, John, you wouldn't understand this.
No, for the boat, for Holyhead, or for the airport, or anything.
And so forth. As kids, you were warned, go now, because you won't be going again until you get to Longford. When you were coming from Dublin back the other way, go now, because you're not going to get...
You were passing through Longford? Is that what you said?
That was the break.
Really?
That was,
wow.
So we ended up marrying people from the, you know, the lavatory break of the country, Adrian, right? Sorry about
boy,
that.
I want to. I'm glad.
So what's going on, guys? What's
I mean,
new?
I was
what's
thinking.
Strange?
I was thinking about. Listen, you tell us what's new. President of the IBO, the Irish Business Organization of New York.
New York, yes, for my sins.
And very much a part of the fabric of the Irish-American community. And when the Taoiseach, before, indeed, he had his jacket off as Prime Minister of Ireland, he was hot foot over here. First stop was to, indeed, the Irish Business Organization, the IBO.
He believes in
and
small
there were
business,
those,
yeah.
There were those who said that there was faction involved, and I got highly, and I got highly insulted by that because I figured the next thing they'll be saying that this is a parochial outfit.
Absolutely.
And so you have to cut that stuff off, kind
we've of. We've got to kill this Mayo Mafia BS, right, Amy?
Absolutely.
You know, the fact is, like he believes, like we all do, in the strength of small business. That's what keeps that's. What is it? I don't know what the percentage is, but it's very high in New York that keeps the fabric of New York going. I, you know, get people small to medium, and in 5 years they're the medium to large, so then they move on to bigger and better things. But really the reality is it's all about keeping our young people in the jobs, looking out for each other, supporting each other, and putting the work through each other. Simple as that.
And let me just say this, although I mean, I should be castigated for not a higher
You should be
what?
Castigated?
Inappropriately done. No, but the what I was going to say is that I should be criticized because I haven't participated as I should. But I will say this: the Irish Business Organization is very, very active with your emails, with the activity, with the calendar, with the events coming up.
Yeah,
it certainly keeps the IBO very much in the forefront of anybody's mind.
And I'll tell you
really
one
does.
Thing that they do not cater to, John, which would affect both of us.
Yes,
I'm in trouble now.
No, I want to tell you. The Irish Business Organization, they happen to be to the forefront of breakfast.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah.
You know, 8 a.m.?
Only if you catch Adrian coming home will you see him at the breakfast.
Breakfast, yeah. In the old days as a musician, that was a great idea. You know,
that's true. We do an evening meeting there second Wednesday of every month, and they are growing from strength to strength. I mean, you have anywhere between 80 and 150 people now at a regular meeting.
That's terrific.
And
the website, Sheila.
It's www.ibonewyork. Very simple, .org. Can it be any simpler?
Very good. Have you met Henry Healy?
I had the pleasure of being introduced to Henry. Believe it or not, here's a small story. The man who found out the original link of Henry's heritage to President Obama is a priest called Stephen Neal. And I went to school with Stephen in Cross Malina in Gurton Rabbey with the nuns.
Wow.
And he moved to Tipperary. And then he found this connection. And then when Henry's coming out, he emailed me. He said, Lineage, you're there in New York for 20 years. You know, can you show this fella around? And I'm delighted to be able to introduce you to him, you know.
Okay. Well, do that.
Good evening.
Well, first of all, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much.
And indeed, I wouldn't do it because it sounds like if I had come up with the line first. You're Nate cousin.
An eighth cousin of the president.
Of the president. And your name is Henry. Now, it should have dawned on some of us that this was a perfect opportunity to be known as Henry VIII.
For
right?
Sure, it's a natural.
Yeah, we were, by the time we read it, that's kind of, you know, news that, you know, you can give yourself a kick and say, what the hell, it was sitting there. Yeah. It was good. It was,
and it was the president that gave me that nickname. So it was one that stuck.
Do you like being called it?
I don't mind it. Really? I suppose you could be called, well, maybe you could
be
called
it. I was going to say, you could be called a lot worse.
Henry, what was the impact when, obviously, the news of this, you know, after the president was elected in 08, or in 08, what was the general impact? Were you shocked? Was there, what was your initial impact?
We found out about the connection before he became president, but I suppose the initial shock really hit us when in 2011 he announced that he was going to come and visit Moneygall. You know, this was something we had hoped for, hoped for, and then to have it happen, you know, it was surreal. It was fantastic for my village of in County Offaly, and it's really transformed our village.
Right.
Is there, by any chance, is there a sign as you come into your town, of the grandfather, whatever?
Would you believe it's actually going to be erected in the next 5 weeks?
Yeah. Oh, serious.
Terrific.
Yeah, what's it going to say?
The ancestral home of President Obama. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Now, I do want to ask you, though, about you are playing a very significant role for Ireland, and you're not out here just to wave.
To enjoy myself, no.
No. but in a very significant year. Tell us about it.
I work for a non-profit organization called Ireland Reaching Out, and we're partnered with The Gathering as well for 2013. And what we do is we offer free service to people who are searching for their Irish roots. So if you have a query about your genealogy, you can come onto our website, which is www.irelandxo.com, and you can post a query there. And we have over 2,000 volunteers signed up that are willing to assist free of charge. But the other thing is that if you do decide to come over to Ireland, they'll also meet and greet you. So you have a friendly face to meet you on the other side.
Yeah. Again, is that somewhat easier because the Irish government, in fact, did get a lot of and did establish the records and digitize the census of
1901 and 1911.
And
1911. But what we rely on as well is a lot of the church records, which are not digitized. So by having communities, people, grassroots at local level in Ireland, we have access to the church records and even to the graveyards, which are not recorded as well. So people will go in and check out the graveyards.
But the beauty of it is that in this year of the gathering in particular, that there is, you know, we talk about the great Cade Mila Falsha and the 100,000 welcomes and all of that, but to actually to be on the forefront and say when you come over, you know, it's this is something that's going to be huge.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it is, and like as you said, it's perfect for the gathering. It fits to it like a glove to a hand. But the beauty is that we'll be there in 2014 and beyond as well. This is a long term program. We have 70 million diaspora, nearly 40 million here in the US, and we'd like to connect and reach out and make them part of their ancestral communities back home.
Your website?
It's IrelandXO.com.
IrelandXO.com.
Kisses and hugs.
Yeah, hugs and kisses.
Do you like
yeah.
my shamrock, Adrian?
I love it.
Do you know where this came from?
What?
All the way from County Kerry. We won't hold it against them.
Yeah.
But it's the same shamrock that the president is going to be presented with on Tuesday. And it's the same shamrock that all the peacekeeping forces throughout the world wear today. Is that awesome?
Terrific.
Livingshamrock.com.
And there's only one in the United States and you got it.
Sure, I'll bring you one next year. And you can do one with a Mayo crest as well.
Absolutely.
I'll bring you one next year.
No, it is lovely.
Thank you.
It's the real McCoy.
Yeah, it really is, yeah. Cool, isn't it?
It's fantastic. Okay.
Adrian, have a great day.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of it. Thank you very much for having us on.
Nice to see you, Henry. Always a delight. I might just repeat here that it looks like it's snowing on the St. Patrick's Day parade as we're looking out the window.
My
so
God.
Anyway, that's a little
we're
unexpected.
We're just about to go and lead the contingent now up the avenue. That's you're up next.
Put on your galoshes.
The IBO or the Mayo?
The IBO. IBO, we're leading a big contingent. We're meeting at 45th and Vanderbilt just now. So we're going up there.
Well, considering the
you have a pair of wellies.
No, but considering that everybody is there except you.
Yes.
I mean, this is a public,
and I'm here talking to you guys.
As a public service announcement, you're a bit late with that one.
Look, as a good woman is never late, Adrian, right?
All right,
thank you both very much, guys.
So
enjoy
much,
the rest
of let's get back for thank a moment, Adrian, if
yeah,
we can. So nice to see you.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Greg Harrington, and who had done Danny Boy before for us. As you said, Adrian, a wonderful classical violinist. And what is it you want to say?
Can I just, before you go in now and ask for something else off the wall, can I ask, Greg, if there is a possibility that you could play, I don't, you know, even if it's a little bit of a tune, and
nothing like spontaneity.
Summertime.
Summertime.
Yeah, could you just
okay.
I know that's.
Yeah. Okay, I love
it. It yeah, I mean at least John Deary wants you know to, he wait, when he picks a song.
Summertime and the evening is. Is that the one?
Yeah. That's the one. Yeah.
Huh? That's the one I'm gonna play.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't recognize it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, listen, you had your Danny Boy, okay? Twice today, in case anybody missed it.
Please, Greg Harrington and Summertime.
The Art of Impromptu.
Okay. Greg, yeah.
That's absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful, Greg. Excuse me.